Welcome to Speaking of Grace, the weekly message podcast from the Whole Life Church in Orlando, Florida. We're a multi-ethnic, multicultural, and multi-generational congregation committed to our mission of loving people into a lifelong friendship with God. We are committed to our vision of being a church without walls, fully engaged in serving the people of our community. Thank you for joining us as we continue Speaking of Grace.
Do you remember the first time that God answered your prayer? I do. I was 5 years old. My dad and I were at the park enjoying a picnic in the middle of a sunny afternoon. On that day, after we ate our sandwiches, my dad and I began to fly a kite. It must have been a blustery day there in Oklahoma because I remember the kite flying higher and higher and higher. Somehow the kite must have taken off, and in my haste to run after it, I dropped the stick that held its string. I ran after the kite, and thankfully I captured it. But the kite stick? Well, it was nowhere to be found. I still remember talking the situation over with my dad. Without the kite stick, our adventure was over. But how was I to find it in the middle of this large, open field? As a child, my innocent faith had sprouted through Sabbath school and church and family devotions, and I still remember the stories of the characters in the Bible who had prayed and God had answered. So, in my pickle, I knelt down in the middle of that field and prayed, "Please, God, help me find my kite stick." And when I opened my eyes, there it was. Maybe you remember, too, the first time that God answered your prayer. But what about that time when he didn't? What about that time when you waited desperately in the ICU room, or for that job offer, or for the phone call from your estranged husband? Today, I'd like to talk a little about prayer, but here is my disclaimer. I'm not a pastor. I'm just a believer off the streets like you. Prayer is a complicated topic, and there are many questions that I don't have the answer to. Things like, why does God answer yes to some prayers and no to others? What do I do when God is silent? Why do some prayers take so long to be answered? If it's okay, I'd like to put some of those things in a box and set them aside for the next 25 minutes. They are deep and true and real questions that we should wrestle with. I don't intend to cast prayer in a shallow light, but my goal today is to inspire and remind about the mighty ways that God can answer our prayers. He longs for us to bring everything, both big and small, to him. The Bible affirms that when we speak to him, he hears us, and nothing is impossible with God. Please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this Sabbath day and the time to come together and rest, reflect, and regaze and look at you. Father, this afternoon, we lift up the Cinquemani family and all those in our church family who are grieving today. I pray that you would fill this room and our hearts with your spirit, that you would open our ears and our minds to the words that you want each of us individually to hear. Thank you so much. Amen. Even though it was many years ago, my kite stick story has stuck with me. It may sound silly, but it taught me that no prayer is too small for God. He longs for us to bring him our joys, our sorrows, and our needs. For me, this belief is bolstered by one of my favorite verses in the Bible, 1 John 5:14. In it, the author writes, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." Fast forward to adulthood, and I remember seeing this verse in a painting on the wall in a church. It was the first time I ever remember coming across this verse, and it was at a difficult time in my life when I needed to hear it most. During that season in my life, I took comfort knowing that as I lifted my prayers to God, He heard every single one. I clung to the promise that verse provided. I didn't know what the ultimate outcome to my situation would be, but I knew that He saw me, He heard me, and He loved me. So if God loves us and hears all of our prayers, why doesn't He always say yes? Why is the answer sometimes no when that no causes pain and heartbreak? The truth is, I don't know. It's a difficult question that I would add to that box over there and suggest you submit it when Pastor Ken does his sermon series on tough questions. We're going to add a few to that list. In Max Lucado's book, You'll Get Through This, he tells the story of Joseph. Joseph had a charmed childhood. Of all the kids, and you know who you are, he was his dad's favorite. As a teenager, his dreams predicted that he was going to have a really bright future. But jealousy and lies got in the way, and twice he ended up stuck. First in a pit, waiting to be sold as a slave, and then wrongfully convicted in a prison. Joseph's time in prison lasted for years, even after he helped Pharaoh's personal servant get out of jail by interpreting his dream. "I'll remember you," he promised, but he didn't. It wasn't until years later, when Pharaoh himself had a troubling dream, that Joseph's special skill set was needed. Did Joseph pray to get out of that prison? It must have been daily, hourly at times, but God's answer was, "Not yet." In the moment, "not yet" often feels like no, and sometimes, "Where are you, God?" But God used those years to shape Joseph into the leader he knew he needed to be. Have you ever been to a paint-your-own pottery store? If you have, you know the difference that a kiln makes in the creation of your masterpiece. A kiln is a special oven that transforms materials like clay into durable and useful products. What starts as a fragile, dull piece of ceramic is placed in the kiln for up to 28 hours. The kiln master controls the heat, making sure it's not too hot, and the pottery is transformed. What emerges is a strong, bold, and polished keepsake. One of my favorite quotes from Max Lucado's book about Joseph is, "When others see a pit, God sees a kiln." If we allow Him, God can use these difficult moments in our life to transform us into the creation He wants us to be. Strong, bold, and polished. But does praying to God guarantee that we will have a happy ending? I think we all know the answer is no. There are many situations where God has something else in mind for us, and we may never understand why. The story of Job is a great example. Job was spiritually centered and highly successful. In fact, in the Bible, it says that he was the greatest man among all the people of the East. According to the story, Satan convinces God to allow him to bring calamity to Job, claiming the only reason that he is honorable is because of all of the blessings that God has granted him. In a horrific string of events, Job loses all his livestock, servants, and all of his children. And then Job breaks out in painful and disfiguring sores all over his body. After this dramatic series of events, people began to talk. "Surely Job must have done something really bad to deserve this." His friends came over and tried to convince him to acknowledge his sin and ask forgiveness. They embark on a lengthy philosophical conversation, trying to understand why Job's prayers for protection, restoration, and healing aren't being answered by God. But then God speaks. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Have you ever given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place? Do you know the laws of the heavens? Question after question. God reinforces that they will never understand his full power, wisdom, and timing. Responding, Job says, "I know that you can do all things. Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know." Being a follower of God doesn't mean that we are immune to the pain of this world. Just ask Horatio Spofford. Horatio was a wealthy attorney living in Chicago with his wife and four daughters. He was well-respected and a leader in his local church. One day, tragedy struck when a fire destroyed most of the real estate investments that he owned, wiping out most of their family's wealth within hours. 2 years after that catastrophic fire, after saving and planning, their family was ready to embark on an extended trip to Europe. Unfortunately, at the last minute, Horatio had to delay his departure due to an issue that came up with his business. He encouraged his wife and daughters, "Go ahead, travel ahead. I will catch up as soon as I can." As his wife and daughters cruised towards Europe, their ship was struck by another. Tragically, all four of their daughters drowned. Horatio hurried to join his grieving wife across the Atlantic. As his ship neared the location where theirs had sank, the captain called him. As he passed over his daughter's final resting place, he wrote the words to this now beloved song. "When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." What do these stories tell us about prayer? God loves us and he hears our prayers. When his answer isn't what we hope for, we may never in this life understand why. But we can trust that the creator of the universe has a plan in mind. Ecclesiastes 11:5 says, "As you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things." Job's life was pieced back together, with God restoring his health, his wealth, and gifting him 10 more children. But I imagine he still had scars, both physical and emotional. When the holidays rolled around, I am sure he felt pain as he reminisced of the children that he had loved and lost. At Advent Health's conference on mission several years ago, I learned about the art of kintsugi. Kintsugi celebrates the beauty in brokenness. It begins with pottery that has been broken, but rather than being discarded, the pottery pieces are glued back together with a gold overlay painted to highlight the cracks formed by the break. Instead of trying to hide the imperfections or perfectly restore it to its original state, kintsugi celebrates the beauty when something broken is healed, recognizing that it will never again be exactly what it was. The pottery is considered more cherished and more beautiful than if it had never been broken in the first place. As one psychologist says, in kintsugi, the gold is not a cover-up, it is a highlight. Job's story reminds me of a beautiful kintsugi dish. After being brutally destroyed, it was pieced gracefully back together with the cracks and crevices painted with gold. His life, a symbol of unwavering faith and God's ability to bring beauty out of the broken. Several years ago, I began writing my prayers in my phone at the beginning of each day. For me, it has been a great way to build the habit of waking up, reading scripture or a devotional, and writing my prayers to God, all quietly and without turning on the lights and waking up my husband. You're welcome. Writing my prayer has been such a blessing for me. What I've noticed over time is that sometimes I forgot that I lifted a request to God, and in the hustle and bustle of life, took for granted that he answered or resolved the situation. Some prayers have taken months or years to answer, but it's been amazing to go back and read and see how he has led in my journey. In other instances, God didn't answer my prayer request with a yes, but what I found after looking back is that he softened my heart over time and removed that desire. I believe this is another powerful effect of prayer. The time spent with God can bring peace and change our heart to be more like his. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Indeed, God longs for us to be with him. As we spend time with him in prayer, we abide in him. John 15, verse 5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Jesus modeled this behavior in his ministry. Luke chapter 5 says that he often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. His example reminds me of high-intensity interval training, a workout defined by short bursts of intense effort followed by snippets of recovery. During his ministry, Jesus' high-intensity moments meant thousands of people surrounded him as he spoke, healed, and traveled. They grasped at his clothes, knocked holes in roofs to beg for his healing. The days were long, the meal breaks were few. The crowds and the pressure on him had to be intense. About 6 years ago, I started high-intensity interval training at Orange Theory. I love that the workouts are different every day and they always challenge me to improve. Orange Theory uses several different zones to describe your amount of effort, ranging from base to push to all out. And after every all-out effort, you know you will be rewarded, and I do mean rewarded, with a walk and recovery. In order to reach your maximum effort, your body has to have time to rest. You can't run at an all-out your entire workout or you will suffer. Jesus knew that his prayer life served the same purpose. It was his recovery. It was critical for his ministry that he have these times to pause, step away somewhere quiet and lonely, and pray. In the book, Practicing the Way, Dallas Willard is quoted as saying, "Hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life in our day, and you must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life." When I worked in Zephyr Hills, I remember a devotional that my mission and ministries leader, Doug Higgins, shared with our team. He talked about how God longs to spend time with us. He wants to have a true relationship with us, not just a transactional relationship, but a deep and true friendship. Doug's message really stuck with me. I have to admit that more often my view on prayer was that the conversation was one-sided and could easily become transactional. But approaching prayer from the standpoint of God wanting desperately to talk to me was exciting. After all, who wants to leave their best friend hanging? But just like with any friendship, we have to make time for it. It doesn't always have to be a 30-minute phone conversation. Sometimes friendship means a few text messages throughout the day to say, hey, I'm thinking about you. But deepening our friendship with God means being intentional to pause, abide in Christ, and recenter. There is one last principle on prayer that I'd like to leave you with today, and that is, our God specializes in the impossible. There is nothing too big for him. One of my favorite faith-filled stories in the Bible is that of Sarah. She and Abraham were promised that they would be the parents to a great nation, as many stars as there were in the sky. And yet, decades after this promise, they still had no children. Can you imagine the emotions that Sarah felt as her prayers for a child went unanswered? The hope and anticipation each month, followed by disappointment and sadness. Month after month, year after year, decade after decade, no baby came. Not yet. I wasn't a spring chicken when my husband and I had our first son, Griffin. We had been married for almost 10 years and had intentionally waited to have children. But when we decided we were really ready to have a baby. I still remember the hope and anticipation each month, followed by the disappointment. Every month that year, I lost more hope, felt a little less excitement, and grew self-conscious. Ours was a silent journey. We had been pretty private about our desire to start our family, but I cannot imagine the pressure that Sarah felt. I have to imagine that everyone in their circle knew about the promise that God had made to Abraham. They had uprooted their entire lives with that promise in mind. Do you think people asked her? Do you think they offered advice along the way? What to eat, what to drink, what to wear, when to try? I bet people were talking about it. Maybe they whispered about whether Sarah was good enough to be Abraham's wife and the mother of this nation. What's wrong with her? I wonder what her prayers sounded like and how they changed each decade. Maybe at first she prayed for 10 sons, and then 5, and then 2, and then maybe just one, God, and maybe a girl would be okay. I wonder at what age she just stopped asking. But oh, the joy when the not yet turned into a yes. Unbelievably, at the age of 90, well past her body's ability to do so, Sarah bore Isaac as her one and only son. Finally, her prayers were answered, and God had made the impossible a reality. Maybe this is why I love Sarah's story so much. Her journey reminds me that God's answer will come in his perfect time and in his perfect way. One son may not have been what she originally envisioned with this promise of being the mother to a great nation, but God's response to overcoming the impossible gave her a mountain of faith. If he could give her one son when it was no longer possible, surely he could do anything. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. My friends, there is no prayer too small for God. He longs for us to bring everything to him. The Bible affirms that when we speak to him, he hears us. When his answer is not yet, he can use that time to build our faith and mold us into who he wants us to be. When his answer is no, we may never on this earth understand why, but he invites us to trust that he is all-knowing and all-powerful. God wants us to abide in him, to spend unhurried time with him, connected in prayer. And nothing is impossible for God. I love this quote from Ellen White. Prayer is the answer to every problem in life. It puts us in tune with divine wisdom, which knows how to adjust everything perfectly. So often we do not pray in certain situations because from our standpoint, the outlook is hopeless. But nothing is impossible with God. No, nothing is so entangled that it cannot be remedied. No human relationship is too strained for God to bring about reconciliation and understanding. No habit so deep-rooted that it cannot be overcome. No one is so weak that he cannot be strong. No one is so ill that he cannot be healed. No mind is so dull that it cannot be brilliant. Whatever we need, if we trust God, he will supply it. If anything is causing worry or anxiety, let us stop rehearsing the difficulty and trust God for healing, love, and power. For a moment, I'd like for you to imagine that you're with me in that big grassy field. The sun is shining, the breeze is blowing, and your kite has flown away. Your heart is open, full of faith. Maybe you feel like it's impossible, but let me ask you, what is God inviting you to bring to him in prayer?
So, family, I say it every week, and I mean it. I love you. Go love your world.
Hi, this is Randy McGray, podcast producer and host here at Whole Life Church. loving people into a lifelong friendship with God is our mission at the Whole Life Church, and our podcasts are designed to help facilitate conversations that help us grow together in that pursuit. Now that you've heard the message for this week, don't forget to check out the Whole Life Takeaways for this message. Swipe up in today's show notes and join the conversation. Speaking of conversations, each Wednesday morning we take a closer look at the week's message. That's right, the one you just listened to. We discuss practical ways to apply spiritual lessons and ask honest questions about the issues we face as Christians, all focused through the lens of grace. Your voice is a welcomed addition to that conversation. We encourage your thoughts and your questions by sending a voicemail or text to 407-965-1607 or send an email to podcast@wholelife.church. You can find everything podcast related on our website, wholelife.church/podcast. And plan on spending every Tuesday evening and Wednesday morning with us as we bring you the Whole Life Church inspiration you love straight into your headphones. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.